Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Tom Rieger's here. He's our new friend. Tom has been studying the phenomenon of fear on a number of levels, especially in the marketplace, for a long time now. He's told me about 25 years. He's chief architect of the Gallup's global consulting effort to identify and remove barriers to success. That's what he's been doing for his long career. He's the author of a brand new book that couldn't be better timed. And I mean that. The Breaking the Fear Barrier, Tom Rieger, and that's R-I-E-G-E-R. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Welcome to the show. I meant what I said. I can't imagine a book being better timed than yours is. Tom, you can't see me right now, but I got a lot of gray hair I didn't inherit. I earned all of them in the marketplace. And Tom, I have never in my long career, this is my seventh, this last one was my seventh recession. First one was 69. Mm-hmm. I've never seen as much fear in the marketplace, in my opinion, and I'm not a scientist like you. What are you seeing?
You know, Jim, I agree. As you said, I've been studying consumer or organizational behavior in one form or another since 1986, and in all that time, I have to tell you, I have never seen so much fear in the marketplace. You know, I don't care if it's a factory worker in New Jersey or if it's a mid-level manager in Chicago or a C-level executive in San Francisco. Fear is extremely pervasive. And
we probably should say that when I said that, I should have been more specific and called it in the workplace, not just the marketplace. There's plenty of fear in the marketplace, but I think for our purposes, we're talking about the workplace, right?
Correct. Right. And when I say fear, when I'm speaking of specifically, it's fear of loss. It's losing something. And not just losing your business, which for a small business owner, of course, you worry about every single minute of every single day.
Yeah.
But even within that, it's not getting something you feel entitled to. It could be a salesperson wondering if they should gain their bonus because they're worrying about not getting it. Or it could be a manager sitting in their office worrying about, can they do what they need to do with the budget they have, or they're maybe getting territorial? You know, these barriers aren't created out of malice. They're created right out of fear.
Well, when people are fearful, they put up their firewalls.
Correct.
And when two people are afraid of the same thing, they put their firewalls together and they build a silo, don't they?
Yes, they do. And, you know, it all starts with not managing growth properly, because as businesses become more complex, what do you have to do? You have to start dividing up responsibilities, and that's true of large businesses or small ones. And when you start dividing up responsibilities, you start to narrow focus. So what happens is at some point, you start to define the world by the piece and not the puzzle, and people within those silos begin to start viewing everything from their filter, and success becomes just checking off that one little box, not necessarily achieving your overall strategy. And the problem is, sometimes that makes it harder for others in the organization to succeed. If those walls and policies and walls you build to protect yourself just make it more difficult for everybody else.
And Tom, just as all roads once upon a time led to Rome, all sources of fear that really are the most devastating kind lead to trace back to the leaders of those companies, of those organizations. It that's where the buck stops when it comes to fear, isn't it?
Yeah, ultimately it does. And whenever we go in and do this type of work, I always ask leaders two questions. And the answer has to be yes, otherwise we are all just wasting our time. And the first question is, are you, Mr. Leader, willing to look in the mirror? And secondly, are you willing to put everything on the table? And if there's something that's not on the table, we need to know right now. Now, that said, while, of course, it all starts with leadership, barriers can be created anywhere in an organization, and these are all done with the best of intentions. So a leader could put out a great strategy, but if the execution isn't well thought out, when you start permeating that throughout the organization, that's when you might start to see some barriers popping up as well. So everyone needs to take accountability here. You can't just blame the leaders.
No, I agree with you, but the leaders can say, okay, folks, we're having a tough time right now. The marketplace is rough. The economy's rough, and we're going to struggle. It's okay to say, you know what, we're going to struggle for a month or a year or whatever, but that doesn't mean that we need to turn on each other. That doesn't mean that we have to turn inward. That doesn't mean that we can't be productive at least with each other. Let's don't make it worse internally. We've got enough issues externally. Let's don't shoot ourselves in the foot. Isn't that the kind of thing leaders can say to abate the fear somewhat?
Absolutely, Jim. You know, there's a great quote by Mark Twain that courage is resistance to fear and mastery of fear. It's not absence of fear. Now, to do that, there's a couple things you have to do. You need a strong mission that everybody can stand behind. That's meaningful, that's the glue that holds the organization together. But on top of that, you have to align what I call moral courage and vital courage. Mm. Vital courage is the survival instinct. It's what drives us to succeed. It's all about
you call it bio courage?
Vital courage, yes.
Vital courage.
V-I-T-A-L, vital courage. It's inwardly focused. It's basically what's best for me in survival. On the other hand, there's moral courage. Moral courage is fighting for a purpose or a greater good, or in this case, what's best for the company. If you have a situation where you ask employees to do something that's for the good of the company but hurts them, they're probably not going to be real thrilled about doing it. On the other hand, if you give people an opportunity to do something that's good for them that's bad for the company, a lot of them will do that too. You know, we had an example in one organization who had turnover just spiking, where they had, it was a collections group in a financial services company, they started paying their team leaders based on the average dollars per hour collected by their team, which sounds fine, except when they would have to promote someone, a manager would be faced with a choice. I could promote the person in my group who has the most management talent, who may also be the top performer. If I do that, I give myself a pay cut.
That's right.
Or I could get rid of my problem, who can't even manage to tie their shoes, much less manage anyone else. I've given myself a raise. So you could see where that went.
Make sure that your policies aren't creating these kinds of conflicts, this kind of fear. Ladies and gentlemen, the book, folks, by Tom Rieger is Breaking the Fear Barrier. Tom, what's the website? How we find it quickly?
It's available any online retailer.
Okay. Stand by.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.